praise his name. Glory to God. You know, if he hadn't came, he hadn't saw, and he hadn't conquered, can you imagine how miserable your life would be? I mean, seriously, I'm not going to be one of these flowery guys that say, oh yeah, life is just so grand after you meet Jesus. Sometimes you just find your hardest battles after you meet Jesus. Because the world hates you at that point. It didn't like you to begin with, now it hates you. But I'm here to tell you right now, life with Christ is still better, hands down, than life without Christ. There's no comparison. Okay, today, reminder of the Christmas in July operation, Christmas Child Celebration, is at 5 tonight in the conference center. See you there. And if you wanted to come and you did not RSVP, apparently we still have some room, so please come. mark your calendars, again, for Sunday, August 15th, for the At His Feet annual baptism and church picnic immediately following the service. Please see the RSVP and food sign-up sheets on the table in the back of the sanctuary. Note, church will be providing fried chicken and table service. See your upcoming August newsletter for more details. And we are excited to try a new venue for us this year at Heartland Country Resort. Should be a great time. Again, they got a little pond there we can swim in, baptize. They got a petting zoo on hand. Boy, the kids are in a special wind-up mood today, aren't they? Anyhow, praise God. But if you'd like to be water baptized, and no, I'm not trying to do my impression of Disturbed. But if you want to be baptized, please let me know, and we'll make sure you get baptized that day. Amen? All right. They have held all that they can hold, so let's bless the tithe and offering. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day and ask, Lord, now that you move mightily in our midst today, Father. We come together to stir up the love of Christ. Now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord God, bless it according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and the zoo may go. That's exactly what it sounded like up here. Huh? A zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Sound like we were at the monkey exhibit. That would have been my grandson. Oh, praise God. Oh, geez. Well, glory to God. You know, God is good no matter what is going on. Some people think that when you say God is good, that nothing bad can ever happen. Well, bad stuff's going to happen. Life is still going to happen. He's equipped us for such a time as this. You know, I keep seeing something that shows up periodically. It says, you know, people are saying, oh, I just feel for the generation that is here now. And really, based on what I grew up with and what, you know, some of the others grew up with, you know, the freedoms and things we've seen that are being diminished, and now we're being criminalized for our beliefs. We're being criminalized because we say there God created two genders, male and female. But they try to tell you a man can have a baby. Well, if it has a vagina, it's a woman. Don't care how that works out. But you know what? There's one thing we can always do. We can pray. We can always go to God. We can always go and talk to Him. We can always go to Him and find the peace that is being stolen from us. It's being ripped away from us. Or they're trying to. Because Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. And it's a peace that the world can't understand because the world didn't give it. And if the world didn't give it, guess what? They can't take it. They can't touch your peace. So last week I started a message on prayer. The five W's, the who, what, when, where, and why. We know, and by the way, yes, you can. If you've been praying and you've been saying Jesus, you need to understand, he is still God. But he came to introduce you to the giver of life. So now, backing that up, in my mind, that says, go to my Father. And he said, if you go to my Father, if you ask my Father, if my Father this, my Father that. We know that the Holy Spirit's purpose is to glorify the Father, not to glorify us. Amen. And not to make us weird. We do that. Okay? We add our own stink on it, and next thing you know, it stinks. The Holy Spirit has now become a sideshow freak. And that is not what the Holy Spirit is. But our prayer time, we know we pray to God. Let me get back in my notes here where I was at. The what. We were in the what when we finished up last week, learning about things. I'm going to pick up back there today, but we started to know that you can pray for things. But know this, God knows you need them before you've ever asked for them. And he pretty much just wants you to do his will. Well, you know, God hasn't called me to travel the world and preach, brother. Well, that's okay. Maybe God's just asking you to pick up your neighbor's trash. Maybe God's just asking you to mow their yard because they can't. Now, I get it. There's some that there are people. They are just too stinking lazy. You do what you can. But I have found sometimes that if you do something for somebody, they start getting a hint. Well, that sounds like that's manipulating. You're sowing a seed. Hey, look at how much nicer your place looks. Do you notice you don't have all the mosquitoes and the mice and the rats and the snakes? There's things about what we do that can help other people. You know, maybe God has called you to be a coach. And if he's called you to be a coach, there's a reason. There's people's lives you can speak into. You don't know what's going on at home with a lot of these kids. Some of them have awful lives. Or a teacher. Do you realize the power of influence you have? Every year you get a whole new mission field. The little guys. You got to start there. I was in first grade and I learned to pray. Now, granted, I realize, especially in the district you're in, because I went there, it's pretty much godless. They don't want God in it. Not when I was there. But they can't keep God out of the teachers. I had a science teacher. He was a born-again Christian. The first time I ever saw him, I recognized him. He came to our church, but he came to our church with Heartbeat. It had first just started. And he came there, and his wife was doing the presentation. And I thought, that's the science teacher, the chemistry teacher from the high school. And, you know, next year I'd have him, and he told people, he said, listen, he said, I have to teach you about evolution. I have to do it. But I can also tell you, I don't believe it. As somebody who understands the science. And so, you know, which always instigated that one guy who thought he was smarter than everybody else in the entire school, and all he wanted to do was argue. They're morons. I know if you got offended that I said somebody was a moron, you need to understand, there are just morons in the world. And that's what they like to do. They like to argue. And I learned the other day that the term moron, idiot, and all that, those were actual clinical terms. I mean, think about that. A doctor's calling you a moron. it's not the game at Cracker Barrel anymore, just calling you a moron. So we learned we can begin to pray for those things. We can believe for these things. And as we've continued to move on, I'm going to pick up. I gave Jason quite the little list this morning. He's ready to rock. I was trying to buy him some time. But James chapter 4, we're going to pick up right there again. This is where we were at. He said, "You lust and you do not have, you murder and covet and do not obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Now let me stop right there. God doesn't mind if you enjoy your life. When my parents got saved, we started to get, as soon as they get saved, man, what is it with the wackadoodles who want to ruin your life? Oh, you can't have life. You can't enjoy life. You got to be sorrowful now. He was the sorrowful servant. So I didn't have to be. Do we get that? He came that I may have a life and have it abundantly. Joy, abundantly. When I was part of my youth growing up, I didn't have a ton of joy. Yeah, there were happy moments, but joy is something that can't be taken from you. It's inside. And if you're lacking that joy, it's because you're lacking something else. It's not things. It's not a new job. It's not a new wife. It's not a new car. It's not a new boat, motorcycle, gun, whatever it is that floats your proverbial boat. None of that will bring you the joy. It can bring momentary happiness. So there are pleasures, but Jesus was saying, you keep asking for $10 million. I need $10 million. What are you going to do? I'm going to go out and buy a fleet of Ferraris. Why? Like I said, I love Ferraris. Y'all been around here long enough to know I really do like Ferraris. And while the new ones are really cool and all that, I don't want the new one. I want the one from 1980, Magnum PI, the 308. That is the quintessential Ferrari. It's slower than my pickup truck, but it's a Ferrari. And it's uncomfortable. I've sat in one. But I've come to now realize I don't need all that stuff. I don't need them for my pleasures. Okay, yeah, I would like to have a boat. But I'm not going to go out and buy a yacht. I don't like being on water that much. You can imagine my disdain when I found out how Marines got from point A to point B. There's a reason we're the Department of the Navy. There are Uber. Thank God they have airplanes too. People ask for things, not because they want to bless. If you want your business prospered, why do you want your business prospered? Oh, I just want to pocket the money. I want a bigger house. Do you have a nice house? Yeah. Are you happy now? Yeah. Why do you need a bigger house? Well, people expect it. So what? So what? I know a young man, I call him young because he's my age, but he is a millionaire. He's been a millionaire for quite a few years now. Does not live in a big fancy house. Doesn't live an extravagant lifestyle. But yeah, he's a millionaire and he could have spent the rest of his life living high on the hog. But he was being frugal with it and being smart with it. And praise God, now he's born again. But he didn't need all that stuff. He bought the few things he wanted and needed. And then he just enjoyed his life. But when we're constantly asking God for things, God's like, I already know what you need. I already know you need it. But I just need you to do what I asked you to do. I asked you to pick up that piece of trash. And you walked over it saying, that's not my job. I heard of a pastor's wife one time. There was two ladies in the nursery, and one of them already had her arms full, and one of the babies had a blowout. Pastor's wife was in there. She looked at the other woman who had her arms full already and said, that's not my job, and walked out. By the way, she's no longer a pastor's wife. He's no longer a pastor. You don't say that's not my job. Now, for me around here, the hardest thing for me to do is not doing other people's jobs. I've been asked, would you stop it? It's my job. Let me do my job. So I've actually had to learn to back off and let people do their jobs. But the other part of it was it's been hard for me to ask people to help me because of growing up being self-sufficient most of the time. You ain't got it. You figure out how to make it, or you do without it. So it kind of, yeah, a lot of different things there. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers into his harvest." We should be praying for souls. We should be praying for people to go to our relatives. I know every last one of you is believing for somebody in your family to find Jesus. And if you're not, praise God, because that means they're all saved, right? Pardon me, I ate a drink. I swallowed a bit wrong, and it hurt my throat. So Jesus was telling us how to do this, how to deal with this. He said, pray that God sends people to them. You know, maybe somebody like a football coach, track coach, cross country, science teacher, math teacher, farmer, anybody, mechanic. Anybody is game. You are part of it. And it's not that you're necessarily got to sit there and break out your Bible and go down the Romans Road and lead them to salvation. It's just sometimes it gets in there and you just can't get it out. But sometimes you just need to say the right words. Because generally, if the subject comes up, somebody's listening. God is already stirring in them. That's the Holy Spirit's number one priority on this planet, is to convict us of sin, to convict the world of sin. When the Holy Spirit is removed from this planet, it will be hell on earth. People think, and I've seen this meme too great, there's no parties in hell. There's not going to be rock bands jamming out. You're not going to be getting high and doing whatever you want. Hell is without the presence of God. As bad as we think it is, it can be worse. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Holy Spirit here in our midst. That is why we come together. We stir that up. We can feel the tangible. You can actually feel it if you're listening. You can hear God speak. Many times God speaks to my heart while we're singing. He tells me things. He opens things up for me to pray for people. Sometimes you don't realize it, but I'm back here praying for you. Because God just showed me something. God's told me there's a few of you in here, you've been hurt by what somebody said. They made you feel this tall. God said they're wrong. That person is wrong. God doesn't see you like that. God sees you as a provider. So quit listening to other people about it. Now, carry on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The greatest word for this is sin. Now, if you've been around for a moment, you know, a lot of people teach you, oh, you need to ask God to forgive you right off the bat. Well, here, you need to understand something. First and foremost, the Bible does not teach that we are in need of forgiveness all the time. We're already forgiven. That happened at the cross once and for all. That is from your Bible. Once and for all, right then, he died. He forgave it right then. The reason we ask God to forgive is for us. Father, forgive me. We come back. If you understand the Father, you know he's always waiting. It doesn't matter what you do. Now, there is one thing we know, and that is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's talking against the Holy Spirit. And I've tried my best to explain it like this. It's like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are all one. My wife and I are now one, but yet we're two people. Okay? However, without her, I can promise you, you couldn't handle me. She is my female side. She is what pulls, she grabs hold of the ears of the devil dog, and she pulls back. And it's like, easy boy, easy. So if you can say all you want about me, and trust me, I've had plenty of people say a lot about me, and some of them to my face. Most of them behind my back. But you say one thing about her, you don't get the preacher. You get the devil dog. The guy who's going to fight like a dog possessed of the devil. Which is where that term came from. And that's what Jesus was saying about the Holy Spirit. Is you can say all you want about me and my Father. You can ask my boys. If somebody says something, and it makes them mad about me, but their mama's a different deal. I've seen them all. I mean, they're ready to fight for me. Like, easy, easy. You ain't got, hey, just words. I've been called a lot worse by a lot better people. But their mama, they'll fight for. I'll fight for. And that's what he was saying is unforgivable. And by the way, you have to know what you're doing. You aren't going to accidentally blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Okay? You are going to intentionally blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Somebody saying something against her has to do it intentionally. They aren't just throwing out a generality. It's they meant to hurt her. And you can ask her anytime anybody, she's been crying or something and it wasn't my fault. I still have to come and say, okay, what did I do? It wasn't you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I find out that somebody just being stupid. You can ask her. She now has to go back to being the nurse. Easy, honey. Easy. Calm down. Don't go postal on them. Be careful, because you are the pastor. And, you know, whether or not they were in the church or not, people still look at me. A lot of people know who I am because of that ad that goes around the county. So we have to make sure that we're asking God to forgive us just for our sake. But Jesus said, only as you forgive those who have hurt you. If you aren't, and then he goes on later to teach about this right after, he says, if you don't forgive people, you aren't forgiven. There's the only way you are unforgiven, because you refuse to forgive. Forgiveness is not weakness. Forgiveness is strength. Because first off, forgiveness does not free them of the guilt. It does not free them of the charge that is labored against them. It now frees you from having to carry the burden. So you don't need to be worrying about, well, this person did this. Yeah, I know. That person was a jerk. Wipe it clean. And this is one of the times I was talking to some people the other day about forgiveness and such. And this is one of the reasons I have to constantly, okay, Father, I forgave them. I forgave them. I forgive. There's days I do it daily. Days I do it hourly. Just because the devil is trying to bring back that to hold me back. Because the day I forgave those two particular men, the day I forgave them, something changed in me. I had been a Christian. I'd been around the church since I was about between 8 and 9 years old. And I always felt like just a little boy. And I was in my 30s. And there's something wrong when you still feel like a little boy and you're in your 30s. You've been around the church for 22 plus years. But the day I forgave them, I remember running into a friend of mine. And he asked how I was doing. And I said, I feel grown up. I can't explain it. I suddenly feel grown up. It was 3 months later we started this, that God gave me the orders. But I would tell you, had I not forgiven those two men, one was a pastor, the other a head elder, I could not have done this. I couldn't have stepped out. God wouldn't have told me to do it. He'd have found somebody else because I could not be who I need to be and harbor unforgiveness and teach you about being forgiving. I can tell you right now, I feel so much better. But the devil, he's the one that's got it. He's the one that's holding that charge of sin. And he's the one that keeps bringing it back. Hey, here, don't you want this? Here, let me give you an idea of what it's kind of like. It's like going to the bathroom and somebody coming back later with a bucket and say, hey, you forgot something. You need this. No, I don't. I don't want that. That's exactly what I hope that got the, I could tell by the expressions that got that point across. I thought Michelle was going to curl up in a ball just now, especially since I was heading to her. God doesn't want you holding unforgiveness. So we've got to forgive people. Because by the way, when you forgive people, he can start dealing with the other problems you're dealing with. And for me, it was anger. I didn't think I was angry, but I was. I was very angry. 3 John chapter 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. This is John talking to fellow believers. And he says, I pray that you are prosperous. By the way, God wants you prosperous. He wants you successful. But, and all that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul. You've got to get the Word of God in you. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in you for you to prosper like that. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to be in church. You've got to worship. And worshiping isn't just all here. It's not, by the way, it's not songs. It's more of an obedient life to God and what He's called you to do. Because if it were songs, all of us would be able to carry a note in a bucket. And I can promise you right now, I lose them. My bucket's got holes. They just keep falling out because I can't carry it. In my own head, I sound like Elvis or Travis Tritt or somebody else like that. But when I hear the recordings, I'm like, oh, dear Lord. I've been informed I sing off key. Or not sing off key, I whistle off key. Because if I'm standing back there, the microphone on the phone that's live streaming us right now picks me up whistling. I don't think I do, but anyhow. James chapter 5, verse 13 and verses 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. We'll stop right there for a moment. If you are suffering, put it on Facebook, let all the world know. No. He said, let you pray. You can reach out to your brothers. That's why the church family is a closed group. That is why anybody who says anything derogative about a prayer request or starts attacking people, I will personally have them removed from that account. They will never see another prayer request. They will never see another live stream. Because that's not what it's for. That's abuse. And I will deal swiftly and harshly with it. Because I remember praying for somebody once, and the little dipwad at the end of the aisle started laughing because I was praying for my uncle. And he wouldn't even say amen. He wouldn't say one word. I mean, honestly, it made me mad. I'm not going to lie. It torqued every rod bolt I had. I was 10. You need to understand something. You're protected on that site. If you have a prayer request, you can shoot it there. If it's even, you need, and you don't have to put great detail on there, but if you need for Angela and I to know, you know how to get hold of us. Because not everybody needs to know your mail. they don't need to know the details. Because the next thing you know, whoosh, gossip goes like a wildfire. But it says, let him pray. You need to be praying too. Don't just ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you. You need to pray because you're the one who has to hear from God. If I have to tell you what God said, it's because you're not listening. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit wants you to have the relationship with God that Jesus, the Son of God, has with his Father. That's the relationship. And Jesus said, whatever I ask, he does. And I only do what I see him do. I do his will. So he does what I ask. Kind of why he turned water to wine at a wedding. He told his mom, it's not my time yet, Mom. I'm not supposed to be doing... Just do whatever he says. And all he did was blessed it. Do you know what that word... It just says he thanked the Father for it. They poured it out and it was the best stuff. It had flavor. You need to understand, it was early wine. Sometimes the older a wine gets, it gets sour. It gets bitter. And all it is rot gut. And the man said, Master of Ceremonies said, this is the best. How is it people have drunk all your other stuff, and some of them are a bit drunk, and so they usually bring out the garbage because you're so drunk you don't know. He said, but you brought the best. I also think it was kind of prophetic. The grapes are being mashed into the fine wine, and he saved the best for last, and that's us. We're the generation that the prophets wanted to be a part of. Daniel, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah. They wanted to be here with the power of God. They wanted to be here with the mercy of God in their body. And they wanted to be here to see the king come, riding on that white horse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. It says, pray for, not pray about. There might be a reason why they're acting a little crabby. Maybe they're experiencing something in their body. Sometimes people have a loss that they haven't shared. Confess our trespasses. Now, I don't mean I want to be hearing all about your affairs. And I, either way on that word, okay? But if you need to tell somebody, you can tell me. But know this, we're going to pray. And I'm going to tell you to knock it off. And pray for one another that you might may be healed. Why do we need to be healed? We need to be healed from what that sin did to us. So you don't realize that sometimes when things attach to you, it can leave a scar that you may not always be able to see. It'll leave something, and you need to be healed of that. Chicken pox. You know, I think there's still a mark right here. It was the last one. I'd already been off school like 3 weeks. You need to understand, again, that was my social life. And all I had was my brothers and sisters. My sisters got the same one. We got down to the same point. It's like, we want to go back to school. And then they said, if you got one scab, you can't come back. I was down to one scab. But it left me a nice little scar to remind me of my bout with chicken pox. Things need healed. Something done to you needs healed. When you've carried unforgiveness, you need healed. And healing sometimes does take time. I'm sick of the people that think, well, you didn't get healed right now. You didn't heal. So what sin are you harboring? It says, pray for the sick and they shall recover. Recover means there's time that requires. When I broke my leg the first time, okay, 6 weeks in a cast. 6 months later, when I broke my leg in the same place, they said, oh, no, you don't get 6 weeks this time. You get 4 months. This is all in the wintertime, folks. I mean, it's bad enough in the summer when it's all hot and sweaty, but I'm dragging a cast through the snow. It actually snowed in winter back then. It took time. And if something kept getting re-hurt, it took more time. And just with, and same thing with my back. Yeah, the bone was healed in like 8 weeks. Okay? And I wasn't supposed to do diddly squat because my spinal cord was like 10,000ths away from a jagged bone. That's the bullet I dodged. 10,000ths is not much. And he said, I don't want you doing anything. So we had the 8 weeks for the bone to actually heal. He said, yep, doing good. Now we're going to continue to wait. It was 8 months and 20 pounds later. But God continued the healing. And by the way, and Ted had once told me, he said, yeah, they don't tell you. It takes actually longer than even that because, and I experienced it. I'm just now feeling to where I'm about 90% back to where I was. So it's getting your strength back too. So it's not just that he has to heal. The rest of your body needs to heal. So if somebody has harmed you, somebody has wronged you, you have a lot of things that have to heal. I was, I watched a short video the other day on, it was Homeland Security doing it, but they were busting pedophiles, but they were busting more than anything, they were busting the mothers who were pimping their children out for sex. And when I say children, they're under the age of 13. And they had 13 kids between the two of these ladies. And a baby was one of them. The man met with both mothers, and this was in the Philippines. He met with both mothers. They brought all the kids so he could pick. And he was part of the sting. So they arrested him and took him out of the building as quick as possible. But these women were going to be charged with prostitution and endangerment of children and all this other. Their children would be taken away from them. And they said, these children will deal with the PTSD that comes with that. And we wonder why children who are pulled out of situations, they've actually grown accustomed to it, and now their bodies are trying to heal. The moment my back broke did not hurt nearly as much as the healing did. After that, there was days it's like, oh my gosh, this hurts. But you can ask her. I was sitting on the tree, got up, walked 150 yards back to the house, got in a tub. I'm just like, yep, something's just not quite right. But the pain later, after the initial shock, wore off. And I started healing. And these kids have to do the same thing. But not only are they having to let somebody even touch them, to hug them, to love on them, to give their child a kiss. They can't receive that because they've been so badly hurt. And they are scarred. And it takes a lot of time for that to heal. It's not just always an instant healing. I've seen people healed instantly of things. But I've also seen more times where people had to go through a process, especially with emotional healings. He was bruised for your iniquities. And that's what it meant. Not just iniquities, the things that happened to you. You need healing from them. People telling you lies. People tearing down who you are, making fun of you, whatever it was, it takes time. And so when you do that, you have to heal. All right, now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. People who spite you, pray for them. Pray for them, not about them. Ask God to heal what's broken in them. So many people today are still stuck on things because they haven't let God help. For one of them, they haven't asked God to help them. Healing only came in my life when I started asking God to heal me. And so when we start praying for those who are intentionally hurting us, God can move them. God can move in their lives. That's why he said, bless your enemies. And I don't mean, Lord, I thank you that I've got all these enemies. Okay? That's saying, being able to step out and say, God, I pray that you move in their lives. Help them find you. Lead them to you. When you start moving in compassion for people, you are stepping closer and closer to being like Christ. You are actually stepping closer to being a Christian. That's what the word means, Christ-like. But when all you want to do is hurt people, you got problems that you need to deal with. And your prayer life can help that. Luke chapter 18, verses 11 through 14. The Pharisee, am I in the right one? Yeah, I'm just making sure I didn't put it in the wrong category. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Do you ever feel that way? Lord, I thank you I'm not like that pervert down the road. I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. These are the words of Jesus, by the way. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Fasting is only supposed to be seen by God. That's scriptural, by the way. Jesus said, don't tell people you're fasting. Don't act like it. People walk around, oh, I'm fasting. Oh, pray for me, I'm fasting. Oh, would you get over yourself? Go take a shower for starters. It's one of the things he said. That's in modern terms. But he said, anoint yourself. Pour some oil on your head so that you smell better. But he said, people who exalt him, they have to tell everybody every little detail about their lives. Now, just so you understand, when I'm telling you things up here, if I got any glory from it, that's it. I don't care. But I'm trying to tell you what I've experienced. God told us years ago we would teach as others have not taught. And I teach you from my experience, not from something I don't have a grasp on. Okay? I would rather follow the guy who's been down the road, who knows where the potholes are, who knows where the cliff's going to drop off sharp, where I need to slow down, as opposed to somebody who said, here's my theory on God. If you tell everybody that you are a Christian and that you're fasting and that you're doing all this stuff, that you tithe, then great, they can see how holy you are. But Jesus said the one who went down justified was the tax collector, the one who was hated by his own people. He was justified. By the way, that's us. We have been justified. We are redeemed. He has now made things just for us. So we need to make sure that when we're in our prayer time, when we're in our what we're praying for, that we are not exalting ourselves. because we get prideful, don't we? We get a little prideful about things. Oh man, yeah, look at how good I am. Look, I did good. I did good. I did real good. I did real good. He wants us to be humble, because if we're humble, we can pray for people, because we've been there. That's why I've learned so much even in the last 5 to 10 years, having compassion towards people who have had drug addictions, because I've met so many of you in here who have battled it. And you've overcome a lot. I can have more compassion now on people with anger, because God finally revealed to me I was angry. I was mad at him mostly. When? When's our next W? When should we pray? Psalm. If you can bring these up on as quick as you can. Okay, it's Psalms chapter 55, 16 and 17. I was telling Joshua last night, I said, if I'm up here reading, and even if I've got my glasses on, there's not a ton of light. And without the light, I just still can't see it. So it's either that or I wear one of them little lights on my head so that I can look down. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. This is David. Next one is 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 through 18. David said, morning, noon, and night I will pray. Now you need to understand, they did have a habit, and we later learned that Daniel was one who would exemplify this, as he'd go back to his house from work and he would pray. He'd go to a window that faced Jerusalem and he would pray 3 times a day. Now you need to understand something. He, my opinion, came just a little bit more of a ritual to him than earnest prayer. Because here's the next thing, 1 Thessalonians. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. You can't seek what's good for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. How do I do that? You pray when the need arises. Richard, you can pray going down the road in your truck and God hears you, man. You may see an ambulance going by. Pray. Well, I don't know the people in it. So, Lord, bless the people that are in there. When you say bless, you're not saying pour out blessings of wealth and happiness upon. They need a healing right now. That's what you're praying for them. Be with those who are with them. I've learned, because of some things that have happened, way back, I think Joshua was still a baby, over by Chesterville, they didn't clear the power line first. And the EMT got into the power line. Not a good thing. Not a good day. So they need wisdom. 2 times we lived here in town, we heard the ambulance go by, and I don't know why, but something rose up in me and said, pray. So we stopped what we were doing, and we prayed. We were watching TV, by the way. How'd you miss your favorite program? It's a stupid program. Okay? It's just mindless entertainment sometimes. And we stopped and prayed. The first time my grandfather had a heart attack, it was for him. The second time, my uncles blew themselves up. We won't say what they were doing, but they were doing something stupid. They blew themselves up. You pray that God is with them. You pray that God is moving and has his hand on those people. Those 2 men, all 3 of them, are alive because people prayed. Because the other 2, they were surprised they were still in one piece. Okay, it blew the roof off the shop. You need to pray. It might be your loved one in there. Or they may be going to help your loved one. Or it might be somebody you don't even know. But somebody whose family member has been praying for them, and you just prayed because the devil tried to kill them before they could reach out to Jesus. You never know. Pray without ceasing. Pray whenever you're available. I was at a pastor's conference one time, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and there was one day in particular several years ago, it was actually I think in 14, I had a really, really bad day. And I, the devil dog was rising quickly. And he was on a path of destruction. Let's just put it that way. And I, my flesh was having the heyday. I had the adrenaline of the Incredible Hulk. And it was just like, ah! And I was just like, I've got to calm down. So I went and took a shower. So I'll go take a cold shower. Freeze, get heat, cool myself down, because it was in the summer anyhow, and it wasn't helping, and I was furious. And I began to pray in the Holy Spirit in the shower. And the presence of God came over me, calmed me down, told me exactly what I needed to do, and then has been helping me to run with forgiveness towards those people. Because they really, really did me dirty. And their family. So if you think, oh, my family will never do it. Yeah. But I'm here to tell you, when I stood there, when I was telling them that, and I think the pastor that was leading the thing, he was trying to get at a point, he said, wait a minute, you can pray in the Holy Spirit in the shower? He was trying to get it through to the other pastors who had a very religious take on how you can pray or where you can pray. Well, I'm naked in a shower. Well, I hope so. One, I hope so. And two, do you think God actually sees you with clothes on? Yes, he saw Adam and Eve's feeble attempt at making a bikini. All right? Fig leaves. Whoop-dee-doo. He said, I created you. Now, we as parents, and some of you others might do that, we love to keep our boys humble. The older they get, the funner it is. Just remember, son, I've seen you naked. I changed your diaper. It is kind of fun. And they will be able to do it to their children. And you guys will get to do it to yours. And they get to be about 13 and they start getting cocky. Boy, just remember, I've seen you naked and I changed your dirty diapers. But we have got to make sure that we can pray whenever. Well, don't I need a prayer shawl? Don't I need a prayer rug? Listen, you are not a Hebrew. You are not a Jew. We have been delivered from all of that garbage. That's why I don't have any of that in here. People, well, you need to bring a prayer shawl. You know, we need to teach people how to pray like the Hebrews. I don't want to pray like a Hebrew. I want to pray as a believer in Christ who is victorious, not somebody who thinks that every 3 hours I got to go face a window that is facing towards Jerusalem and get down on a rug and pray. The Muslims do the exact same thing. And they are more faithful. They will stop wherever they're at. We were in Texas, pulled up to the hotel. There's a Muslim on his rug behind his taxi. In the road. My flesh and spirit had a race that day. God won. And no, I didn't go over and start harassing him and stuff. You know what? I prayed, Lord, help him to find the truth. So we don't need all this stuff that people are now trying to bring us back into a religion, a dead religion. You do understand Judaism is dead. Christianity is a relationship that is continually alive. But when you try to bring things that, what does it matter? What does it matter if I've got a prayer shawl? I don't need to cover my head up. Good night. Sometimes I've been praying to God and I've been laying, kind of hanging upside down, partly, Lord, send somebody to help me. I got myself in a predicament here. But you don't need to worry about getting your shofar out. You know what? I'm not a Jew. I'm not practicing any part of Judaism. Baptism wasn't from the Jews. It was John the Baptist. Other than that, you don't read about it. The Last Supper, it was vindicative of out of Egypt from the Exodus. However, Jesus changed it that night. He said, a new covenant. That's what we celebrate with this. I don't have menorahs hanging, sitting on the stage. I don't preach about trips to the Holy Land. I think it would be cool. I do. I mean, it is awesome when you stop and think that Jesus was preaching right here. He walked this road. My Savior. Because I remember the awe that came over me when the movie Hacksaw Ridge came out. And I realized, I've been on Hacksaw Ridge. I've been there. And that 50 years before my time, or not quite 50, 40 years before my time, that man was carrying Marines and soldiers off of a battlefield without a weapon. I know the awe that I felt with that. I even got a little bit of a kind of a sense of awe the other day. Joshua was showing me the pictures. They went to the USS North Carolina in Wilmington. And nearly 30 years prior to that, we were there. Same place. Same ship. He saw the exact same things. He's like, well, you were there, right? And I said, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about in that turret. You stick your head up in there and it's awesome. But to be with Jesus, I'm not going to preach. You want to go to Jerusalem? You want to go to Israel? Knock yourself out. That's all I can say. Have fun. Arrivederci. Me? I'd kind of rather go to Italy. I like the food a little better. Oh, I know. You just talked against the Jews. No, I did not. I said nothing bad about them. And I don't view a Jew any different than I do an Italian or a hillbilly. I mean, good company right there, right? Yeah, I've gotten to know most of you. Yeah, we're in good company. We might be related. So when can you pray? Any time. Now, let me help you out. It don't mean that if you're in a crowded store that you suddenly, everybody stop what you're doing. I've got to pray. The world don't revolve around you there, Skippy. I got to pray with a lady at the bank one day. Standing out front, we're waiting for the teller or the ATM to open up. And she starts talking, starts telling me all this stuff. I'm like, why are you telling me this? And then I just said, and the Holy Spirit just said, start talking to her now. Tell her who you are. Because I don't tell people I'm a pastor. Oh, you're embarrassed. Oh no, I'm undercover. I'm undercover. I'm going to find out just how much you really do love God after you've told me about the weekend you just had. But I said, you know, I said, I'm Pastor Art Waddell from At His Feet Christian Center. Can I pray with you? We're right across the road from everybody out there on the sidewalk drinking a beer and having a good time. And we're over there praying. But I didn't say, hey, y'all need to stop and be reverential here for a moment. When we're out and we eat our dinner, we bow our heads and we pray. We don't shout it so that the world can hear. I know people have judged us. Well, they didn't. They were talking really loud, but they when they come to prayer time, they... Well, pray so the people at your table can hear you. So they can know when to say amen. But other than that, it's not our job to draw attention to us praying. But bless God, if somebody is in trouble, I know I can go pray for them wherever, whenever. You know, somebody, we get calls and messages all the time, hey, I need prayer right now. Boom. We stop what we're doing. Oh, no, we got to fast for an hour before we can do this. Well, I just don't feel like the power of God is in me. It's the same power day in and day out, whether or not I'm feeling it or not. There are some days I get up, I don't feel saved. Anybody else experience that? I don't feel like I'm ready to take on the world. Well, you still got to get up and do it. You still got to face it. So you get up and do it, and guess what? You found out you were ready. Are you farmers? I can't get back in that combine. No, I don't want to get back on that tractor. Do you know how hot it is out there? But you do it. School teachers. Oh, Lord, not the hellions today. I just can't deal with them. Not that little Billy Bob jackwagon. Sometimes Billy Bob jackwagon, again, is acting out for a reason. 9 times out of 10, he's hurting. And doesn't know how to do it any other way. So now you know, maybe know how to pray. People in your family, why do they act like that? Some of them are hurting. And it's all they know. We'll carry on. But I'm going to be teaching about some, there's some things God's, one of them I believe is going to be the next line is about the Holy Spirit. I've had some people ask me some things, and you know what? It's time to talk about the Holy Spirit. We should always talk about the Holy Spirit. But you need to understand, I don't take the regular view that a lot of charismatic type preachers do on the Holy Spirit. They're just like, oh, let's do whatever. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says do things in order, decently. So I really don't want to see you running on my chairs. You're going to fall. The odds are against you staying on them. That's why I don't gamble. I'm terrible at it. But we will learn more because the Holy Spirit is vindicative to our prayer time with God. Faith is vindicative to our prayer time. I've got a great analogy for you, but I'm not going to give it away yet because it's about faith. So now you can be, what is this the day he's going to tell us that great analogy? You never know. You never know. So, but remember this, when you're praying, you can pray anywhere. You can pray in your truck. You can pray at your job. You can pray. I used to pray with a paint mask on. We had to wear a whole paint mask with a respirator, fresh air and all that stuff. In there trying to breathe, for starters, because it ain't pumping enough. And I was like, I can pray. And most of the time, because I was learning how to paint with that stuff, and it's like, Lord, please don't let this sag. Please don't let this sag. But I'll tell you, my prayers were answered because God showed me how to fix it. And when I left, I was at least the number two painter. So God showed me how to stop it from sagging. And it had nothing to do with how much paint I was putting on. It was improper mix. They taught me wrong. They didn't teach me proportions right. They guessed. You can't guess with paint. You need the proper proportions. All right, let's stand. Yeah, especially when you're putting it on really thick. Remember when you start seeing things showing up in the news, pray. Pray before you get your panties in a wad. You don't need to have your guts all knotted up and, oh, I just can't. Listen, you need to keep praying. Because one of the other things God has told me I can start really teaching on is the book of Revelation. A lot of people are wanting to, they've made up stories for the last 150 years of what they think. and they took out what was actually said and how it's written. There's reasons why God had everything recorded the way it is. So that's one of the things he's going to help. He's told me I could start talking about. Amen? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are grateful to be called your children. Father, we know that when we come before you in the name of Jesus, that you will hear us. Father, you will answer according to your will. Father, I pray right now that you help us all in our prayer life with you. Father, that we value the time that we have spending with you. Father, whether we're the type of person who sits down and we need that hour, or Father, we get up, we pray, we talk to you as just like you were our roommate. Father, and then we go about our business and we continue to talk to you. Father, help us all to realize, first off, we can talk to you throughout the day. Just like you're in physical form standing before us. Lord, I thank you that as our faith grows, that we will continue to see how your heart leans towards other people, helping us to pray for them and in turn blessing us. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord, I truly am grateful for them. I know many of them are at different levels in their faith with you. So, Lord, I bless them. Father, I pray that you strengthen them. Lord God, and for those that feeling like they've stalled, Lord God, rekindle that fire in them. Father, as they start pushing towards you, you said, James wrote that if we would draw near to you, you will draw near to us. That is evident by the parable of the prodigal son, that when he came back, the father ran to him. Now, Lord, move in their lives. Father, lead them down the paths of righteousness for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.